teeing.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Shanka.
Okay, hi. Welcome back.
I'm back.
Hello.
So now to your work. I hear you're already sharing some information and introducing yourself, so we'll do that a little bit more formally in a little bit. So like I mentioned, today is really about introducing yourselves. You're going to be working together for the next 8 months. I've added all of you to the Facebook group, which is private, and that's where we're going to be sharing like the information that comes out of the Skill Builders. And today we're also going to go through the benchmarking form, because the benchmarking form really is at the core of everything that we do, and we keep going back to that. What we're going to be doing in the future, every 3 weeks we come together, and that's when we do benchmarking of an expert coaching session, and we will discuss that. So I will give you the link ahead of time so that you have enough time to sit down and benchmark that. So that's why we really want to get started with the benchmarking form. If my speech is a little bit awkward sometimes, it's because I have I had a dentist appointment, which was not planned, but the left side of my face is a little bit numb still. I will share in a bit more about what we will be doing in the program and what the structure is. But first, let's do some introductions. We've got people from all over the world. I just realized that all of us are from different countries. So let's share who you are, where you're from, when and where you did your MetaCoach training, and what you want to get out of this mentoring program. So, Mark, would you like to start?
Sure. And so, Mark Rowland, I'm 42 years old. I spent the first 20 years of my life in England and the second 20 years of my life in Australia. And in between, I spent a year in Korea. I became, interested in becoming a coach when I first became the CEO of a company for the first time, and I didn't really know what I was doing and wasn't very effective. So I decided to get myself a coach at the time. So I got Michelle Duval as my coach. I worked with her for a couple of years, and at the end of that I was really excited about the whole process, that I asked her what it was that she did, how did she learn what she did, and she gave me all the information about NLP, about meta-coaching, so I decided to set myself on a bit of a mission to become a coach, primarily because I wanted to be a better CEO. I thought my coaching modality would be a very good one to have as a leader of a company, rather than telling people what to do, sort of trying to ask them questions and coach them in that way to get better change. So I spent a couple of years doing that. I did the meta-coaching in Sydney, I think about maybe 5 years ago. So probably did maybe 2008, 2009 in Sydney with Michael. And I ever since been doing it as a bit of a hobby on the side, sort of coaching a few people here and there, but then also using coaching as a tool within the companies that I've led. And since February last year, I sold my company, and I'm now in the process of moving to Las Vegas to essentially set up a coaching company here, working with 120 companies in a family of investments through a friend of mine who's invested in over 120 companies here in Las Vegas. So I'm like the internal free resource to coach, mentor, train lots and lots of people over the next sort of 3 to 5 years as part of this program. So I thought it was really good chance to get back into remembering how to be a coach. And I've had a buddy coach. The three of us have been buddy coaching each other ever since we finished meta coaching and using the benchmarking form, probably once a quarter, maybe once every 6 months ever since. But yeah, it's, I think it's one of those skills that unless you use it regularly, you probably learn bad habits. And I think I've definitely done that and certainly forgotten some of the detail. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to get better.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mark. Okay. So, Dawn.
Okay. So, my name's Dawn Voy. I am a Kiwi who is living in Switzerland. I've been here in Switzerland now for 6.5 years, and we're probably going to be here for about another 3 or 4 before we head back down under and take retirement and buy the farm and sit on the farm for the rest of our life. No, not quite, but anyway. I did my coaching in 2010 in, where were we, Stockholm. And Femke was there at the time. So I did my APG with Femke and then had a day's break and then went straight into the ACMC. Came from a very strong NLP background, though I probably moved away a lot from NLP. Studied something called Journey Work with Brandon Bays. So I've been very, very, I wouldn't say very, very involved with that, but very much about what's the right tool at the right moment. And then when I came across the meta coaching, saw that as a way to help in my professional capacity. My role, my official title was Catalyst, now it's Transformational Lead. And so we work with leaders and leadership teams, and the company I work for, Syngenta, is a very large agricultural chemical company and seeds company. And they have a small lawn and garden piece to it as well. And they have just embarked on a very big transformation within the company. And we're there to help the leaders and the leadership teams achieve their targets by challenging them around not just about what they do, but how they do it, those behaviors and working towards the right behaviors and things like that. So that's what I do. A little bit more about me personally, married, no kids, personal choice, just got to the point and had to make a decision. It was like, oh, actually, I don't want kids, but everyone else wants them for me. So I made that choice. So I have 2 cats instead, and very happy in Switzerland. So, me in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you, Dawn. And last but not least, Dirk. I'll put you on public
thank
first.
Okay, Dirk Nieuwoud from South Africa. Exposed to NLP many, many years ago, 94 if I remember correctly. Did my ACMC in 2010 in South Africa in Pretoria with the 2 trainers that were then active here. I think it was actually the first training internationally where Michael wasn't present. So I only met Michael much later. Currently I work in a rather large organization in South Africa, the National Railways, and I managed to get into a role where my accountability is at this point in time is in leadership and management development through the optimization of all the coaching and mentoring initiatives that we run in the organization. In the process, I'm busy setting up a system, which I hope to get going in the next 2 months, where we will do most of the neurosemantic trainings formally in the organization. My current involvement is mostly with leadership team coaching and group coaching, so I miss out a little bit on the individual coaching. What I hope to achieve or get from these sessions, for me, currently, it's very much about being effective as a coach and really making the contribution that I want to make and be of service to other people in the most effective way, meaning that not wasting time and getting to the heart of things and having the right conversations. Eventually, I see that as being measured with consistent benchmarks on a specific level. I'm still contemplating whether I'm going for a 2.5 or a 3. That's me.
Okay. Thank you, Dirk. And thanks, everyone. So you will all be getting to know each other much better over the next 8 months. Like I mentioned, I have created a Facebook group, so if you haven't visited there yet, please do so and make yourself familiar with it. You also, and Mark, I just made you a subscription as well, so that's valid for a year on Subscribe to Change. Every Tuesday, we have a training call where you can practice your skills. And also, there's videos online that you can watch, and there's going to be more videos added to that over the course of the year. So that's a resource that you have available as well. Every 3 weeks, you will be getting a skill builder. And so that's going to build from the level 2.5 skills the first 4 months, and then the second 4 months is going to focus on the PCMC level skills, so level 3 and up skills, and to integrate those. There's three pillars that we focus on throughout the mentoring program. So there's the pillar of skill building, and that really focuses on the skills and dancing with the skills in the benchmarking form. A focus on discovering any meta programs where you have not as much flexibility as you could have, because meta programs are really critical to have full flexibility to be able to, for example, hear patterns in your client. Because as we know, when you filter on one end, so if you filter through a global filter, then you delete the details and vice versa. So then you are going to miss critical information from your client. So we're going to also be focused on meta programs, and then last, also anything that comes up while we go through the program. So those are different things in the first mentoring program that is now a little over halfway through. I've really noticed that everyone in doing consistent benchmarking, you really kind of run into some blockages or beliefs that get in the way of you being fully focused and present with your client or getting out there and having coaching conversations. So we're also going to be focused on that. Normally, this group is 6. So that's 6 is the limit. And so now we're with 3, which is great because that means you have more one-on-one with me or more time with me. What I have set up for a full group is doing a coaching session and rotating every week so that you all get to either coach, be coached, or benchmark every week, one session. With the larger group, obviously that means that you would be doing something every other week. So we need to look at, are we going to rotate every other week, and then I could also upload different coaching sessions for you to benchmark. So, because the benchmarking really, which is what we notice when we do the Meta Coach training, when you do the benchmarking, that's when your skills really dramatically improve. And so what we do on the weeks, every week, is we all benchmark. I've uploaded up to the Facebook group. It's a private group, so only you can see it. Then you guys benchmark it, and at the end of the week, I will share my benchmarks with you. So you can, and I will also add to the benchmarking that you have shared. So that way you get to learn from me, but you also get to practice first. So that's how we set that up. And then there's a call every 3 weeks where we benchmark an expert coaching session. So we get to benchmark the higher level skills, and so that we also get more of a, so that we can start listening for those higher levels as well. So it's pretty intense. The skill builders, initially I had done them from week to week. What we noticed is that doing it over a 3 week period, it gives you more chance to plan your own time in that. So we're doing it every 3 weeks, and you can share your answers and insights and stuff on the Facebook group so that we can get a discussion going. One of the main things that I would like to set as a frame is that the more you guys interact with each other and the more you help and support each other, the more you're going to get out of this program. So that also, you know, kind of like looking at your preference for doing things individually or in a team, and maybe stretching that, because there's a lot of learning by sharing and interacting with each other. Okay, so before we get into the benchmarking form, are there any questions?
Can you write all that down?
Yeah, I will send you an email.
Just like, download.
Yes, I will send you an email, and also because we're going to go through the benchmarking form, I'm going to be, I will be recording this, or I am recording this, and I'm going to upload it to a special page that is private for you, where you can go and listen and download the recording.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
So, any other questions?
Not at this point in time.
Okay.
Not for me.
Great. So then we can go through the benchmarking form. The way we do it is we just go through all of the skills one by one. And if you have a question, just shoot, and we can just have a discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you all have your benchmarking form or your feedback form in front of you?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to start with the skill of supporting. And there may have been, there will have been several changes since all of you have been to the MetaCoach training. I think last year we had 3 adaptations to the feedback form, so it keeps being refined, and so we'll spend some time on what the changes are as well. So the skill of supporting at a level, we'll start at a level 2.5. It says that we're looking for one level 3 skill per minute. So that means that in a 25-minute coaching session, we are looking for 25 of the level 3 skills, which read acknowledgments, validations, celebrations, etc. Also, on the right-hand side, you will see the matching of externals and the semantic matches, and those we also count towards the 25 points in 25 minutes. So that means that for every semantic match that is important for the coaching session, we will count that. Semantic matches are visually, so if you want to be benchmarked on that, you need to videotape rather than audio tape your coaching session. And we'll go into a little bit more detail what semantic matches specifically are. So We're looking for one level 3 every minute. So that means at a level 3, we are going to be listening for acknowledgments. And an acknowledgement essentially is letting someone know that you've heard them, but also checking with them and feeding back to them, this is what you've said, is that correct? Which allows someone to kind of listen back to themselves and make refinements and or say, yes, that's what I've said. So an acknowledgement typically starts with what I've heard you say is, or am I correct that this is what you've said? Or what, and it doesn't have to be a question. You can also say, what I've heard you say is. So that's an acknowledgement. It's only an acknowledgement, though, if you have a pause afterwards and wait for an acknowledgement. Wait for your client to say, yes, that's what I've said. What we often hear is that someone feeds back, so this is what I've heard you say. What do you want to get out of this session? So they immediately follow up with the question rather than checking in, is this what I've heard you say? So that's, with in terms of acknowledgments, really something to pay attention to. Also, obviously, we're going to be listening, do you use your client's words? So the acknowledgments needs to be clean and needs to be your client's words. So then we have validation and celebration, and those, a lot of the time, they get confused with each other. So validation has to do with the human being side, and a celebration has to do with the human doing side. So validation is validating someone's values, who they are as a person, what is important to them. An example of a validation actually was a year ago I did a coaching session with a client in front of the MetaCoach participants, and I was working with a lady. She wanted to make a decision on whether or not she would have a baby with her best friend who was gay. And so she had to make a decision, and it was really important for him, and she really loved him, and also her daughter wanted a sibling. So so that was her conflict. She didn't want it herself, but she really wanted it for the people who were closest to her. And so then what would be, what is a great validation is, well, it sounds like it's really important for you that your loved ones get what they want. So she is sharing that in everything that she said. She's sharing that with me. And so I'm honoring, I'm validating her in that value. So that's a validation. Now, a celebration is if you work with someone and you are working on an outcome, and this person said, well, I've already done that before. So, or they get an insight. Let's start with, I've already done that before. I know how to do that. If someone says, I know how to do that, wow, that's great. So you can celebrate that. It's something that they can already do that is part of them getting their outcome. That's a celebration. Also, if they all of a sudden get like this big insight that also is a breakthrough that will get them to their outcome, then we also celebrate that. Is this important to your outcome? So does this help you get to your outcome? So we check it first to see if it is related to the outcome, and then we celebrate. So a celebration can very easily become, at a level zero, a judgment if we just say, wow, that's a great outcome, without checking if that's really what's important for the client. So it's based on our interpretations, based on our values. So a judgment isn't necessarily something that's negative. It can also be something that's positive, but it just doesn't, it's not based on your client's values and outcome. So celebration, we're going to be listening for something that is outcome related, that you've checked, is this, does this relate to your outcome, and something that they either can already do or an insight. So those are celebrations. Then we have a summary. And so a summary, a lot of the time it gets confused with an acknowledgement, because when you acknowledge, you basically repeat back, so this is what I've heard you say. Then a summary is, so this is what I've heard you say, and then a summary is a one-sentence statement that basically sums up everything that has been said. So I've heard you say this and this and this and this. It sounds like this is about self-confidence. So that would be a summary. So based on everything that I've heard before, it sounds like this is what this is about. That would be the summary. We also want to check that. So we make a summary tentatively. So far, are there any questions about these skills?
No, that was really, really useful to hear the definitions in your words. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I check, Samka? The
yep.
celebration is something they can already do, or it's towards their outcome, and you can celebrate that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Human doing. If it's
yep.
a human, if it has to do with human being, it is a validation. Yeah. Okay, so if there's no questions, I will continue on. So setting frames, and what you will see, and this is probably new for you, is setting frames and then holding frames. So setting frames is what we do in the beginning. This conversation is going to be 25 minutes. I will be making interruptions because I don't need a lot of content. Coaching is about getting to the heart of things and about the structure, not about the content. So that would be a frame. And we set those frames in the beginning. Now, the quality of the frame is also something that we listen for. You know, because sometimes what we see or what we hear is like people try to get up their numbers for the skill of supporting to get to like 25, and they just ramble off 12 frames. And so a frame becomes a high-quality frame if it is followed up with a because. So I'm going to make interruptions. That would be a frame. But setting it as I'm going to make interruptions because I don't need a lot of content, because coaching is about getting to the heart of things and we work with structure. So then you explain why you do that, and that's really a high quality frame. And everyone has their own frames that they set in the beginning. I always like to say that any emotion is welcome. Even if I'm doing something that they don't like or my client feels irritated about, that's also welcome, and so they are welcome to share that with me. So that's another frame that I like to set. So that's setting of frames. Then there is the holding of the frame. So if you set the frame of I'm going to make interruptions, then holding the frame is when you actually make the interruption and say, like I mentioned, I would be interrupting you, and I'm going to interrupt you right now. Or just as simple as I'm just going to interrupt you. So then you're actually doing what you pre-framed you were going to do. Another holding of frame is also when you ask your client, what is it that you want? And they go off in different directions, and they keep, every time you ask a question, they keep veering off because maybe they're very options-oriented. And so what you then do is, okay, so I've heard you say this and this and this. And initially you said that this is what you want to get out of the session. Is that still what you want? So you continue to hold the frame of the what, of the coaching outcome. You keep bringing that back. So we count that as holding the frame. Another way of holding the frame is also by feeding back a frame to your client, maybe of that holds their present state in place, or that would hold their desired state in place, something that they have shared with you and you repeated back and let them try it on or let them reflect on it. That's also a holding of the frame. So in addition to setting frame, yeah?
Sorry, can
you go ahead, Dawn?
Can you repeat that again, please?
The last bit? Okay.
Yeah, the last bit.
Mm-hmm. So if your client says in the conversation, well, I'm a real mismatcher, then you can feed that back to your client. And so if that's related to their present state, so I hear you say that you are a mismatcher. So then you repeat back the frame and you hold it for them so that they can either try it on and quality control it. And if it's about the desired state of what they want, then you can feed it back so that they can try it on and see if it fits. So that's holding the frame as well. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Imka, so, just a question on that holding of the frame. And I know that these different components are not necessarily totally exclusive, but would this mismatching one not relate to identifying patterns as well, the example that you gave?
I would call that not an identifying patterns. Maybe it would be more a detecting of a frame. So that would be under the skill of meta questioning, then you're detecting a frame. And so
in order to be able to
do that, you need to detect the frame first, yes. And then you hold it if you just detect it and not do anything about it, then it's not holding the frame.
Thanks.
Another new skill that has been added is the skill of challenging. And challenging is, you see at level 3.5, there's also confronting, which is, they are similar, they seem similar, but they are different. So challenging is, coaching is all about getting out of your comfort zone, because that's, you know, it's about stretching beyond your comfort zone. And sometimes your client needs to be challenged because it is uncomfortable or because they are afraid. And so sometimes you just need to challenge your client to go somewhere, to give them that little bit of courage that they need to try it on. And so that would be a challenge. A confrontation is if your client is contradicting themselves or going, for example, if they keep avoiding some issue, to really hold that their blind spot to their face and bringing that out in the open. And that can be done in a very playful way. That can be done in a very soft way. And so that all depends on your own style. That's the difference between a challenge. A challenge is you challenge someone to go and dare and move outside of their comfort zone. And a confrontation is really bringing awareness to someone's blind spots, someone's contradictions where they're not congruent, and confronting them with that. So that's the skill of feeding back in a way. Any questions so far about setting frames and holding frames and challenging? Okay? So.
All good. Thank you.
And just interrupt me when you need, like Dawn did. Then there is the skill of putting words to emotions, gestures, and physiology. And this is where we're going to be listening for semantically loaded words, shifts in emotion. So someone tears up or someone turns red all of a sudden in terms of emotions. You see them instead of sitting up straight, you see the change that they start slouching. So that would be a change in physiology and also gestures. So the other day, Dirk and I had the benchmarking feedback for his coaching session that he did. And the lady that he was working with, she was pointing to the left and to the right of her. And she had to try and make a decision, and she was in a conflict. And so what Dirk did was that he did the same thing and asked, what is here? And really defined, okay, what is on the left side and what is on the right side? So that's when you ask someone to put words to what's going on in terms of emotions, gestures, and physiology. What that does is that they stop and can, rather than kind of like rush past it, they need to stop and they become aware. And also it allows them, you let them know, I see you. I really see you. So that's putting words to emotions and gestures. Now, a lot of the time, that plays hand in hand with semantic matches, especially when it comes to gestures. So semantic matches essentially is someone is doing a movement or making a gesture that coincides with a specific word or a specific sentence. And so in their the space around them, they're mapping out how they have mapped out their experience. So you'll notice that people, when they talk about their present or their future, they keep pointing one way. When they talk about their past, they keep pointing another way. And sometimes, and I've seen that happen as well, when someone talks about their future, they point in the same direction when they talk about their past. And that would be a great moment to make them aware of that. And that would then be a confrontation, because you're making them aware of a blind spot, so that they can have awareness and see how that might be related to the outcome that they want to get. So that is those are semantic matches. We count every semantic match that is relevant to the outcome and seems to be semantically loaded. So we listen for semantically loaded words. We don't look for you to explore every movement or every gesture, because some people just use their hands when they talk a lot. Doesn't necessarily have to be semantically loaded. If you use your own gestures instead of your clients, then that takes away from the skill of supporting. And also, if you miss critical semantic matches, that also takes away from the skill. In terms of, on the left-hand side, matching of externals, we're looking for and listening for matching of hands, of energy, posture, voice volume, tempo, and tone. And so if there is, we'd put that on a scale from 0 to 10, put your client on a specific level and the coach on a specific level, and if there's a gap of 2 or more, then that takes 1 point away from the skill. So essentially, we're looking for like a real diversity of all of those skills, of acknowledging, of validation, of holding the frame, of semantic matches, putting words to gestures and emotions, so that all of that is present, and that counts towards level 2.5. Now, to take it up even further is identifying patterns. So that may be a cognitive distortion that you hear. So someone keeps talking either or, all or nothing. They're really personalizing in, from the information, and then you bring that to their awareness. So it sounds like what you're doing is all or nothing thinking, and you can feed back, so you can make an acknowledgement first. So I hear you say da-da-da-da-da, and then it sounds like what you're doing is all or nothing thinking, and you check that out. That might be an identifying a pattern. So I've heard you say three times now that. And then if they acknowledge that, yes, that is a pattern, then you can get them to step back and reflect. And so how does that relate to your outcome? So then that would be a meta question. So that's identifying patterns. We've discussed also confrontation. And so making a commitment essentially is when things get tough throughout the conversation, to let someone know, I am there for you. You know, you've worked hard, and I know that if someone's crying, I know that this is important to you, and I want you to know that I'm going to be right here with you throughout the session, or I want you to know that I'm going to be available for you through email after this conversation. So that would be a commitment. Any questions so far on the skill of supporting?
No questions, but I'd love to be able to do it better.
Okay. So anything that would take away is a disconfirming, having jarring transitions, and jarring transitions is just last week someone was coaching at the MetaCoach training, and her client started crying, and she didn't really wait. She directly asked, so what do you want to get out of this session? So not following that energy, but immediately getting a new question, that would be a jarring transition that takes away from the skill of supporting, and then making interruptions and impositions and judgments also take away from the skill. Okay, so that is it for supporting. I would suggest also listening back to this recording and really getting familiar with all of the skills and what they mean. That's also just going to happen because we're going to do a lot more benchmarking.
Is there a good reference? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I can say, is there a good reference document that? I mean, I tapped a ton of notes while you were talking then, but is there any reference document that sort of explains all of these different areas? Like, is it in the meta coaching book? Is it in the?
You know what? There isn't really a reference document. There are some documents, but they don't really explain very well in detail what everything means. And I think I need to take it upon myself to make that document.
I've never heard anybody explain it in that level of detail before, and it made a ton of sense.
Yeah.
It was great. So thank you very much for explaining it. And like I said, I took a lot of notes, and I'll probably look into recording it again. But yeah.
And like I said, I think I need to really, I am planning on making a video as well and going through this with examples, but I think also having it just as a reference piece, I think it'll be valuable. So I will be working on that, actually.
Awesome.
Okay, I'm just going to write that down. Okay. So then we have the state of listening. And I think the skill of listening has really changed in terms of it's a lot more specific in terms of what we listen for and look for. Right now, like what you'll see at a level 2.5 is that it says clarity checks of words. That is going to be the main thing that we're going to be focusing on when we do the benchmarking. It seems to be like the biggest challenge for people to really focus on that. And a clarity check of words is essentially that I hear something. My client, I like using this example that I had with one of my clients. Because for like an hour, we weren't really getting anywhere, and she kept on talking about love, and I'm like, I know love. I know what she means by that. And so we weren't really getting very clear on what she means with love and how she uses that word, because I made the assumption that I knew what she was talking about. So the moment I asked her, what specifically do you mean with when you talk about the word love, then it became, well, I'm talking about self-love. And then I could ask her, okay, how are you using that? What if I were to do that, self-love, what do I need to do that for you constitutes self-love? So with clarity checks of words, the way that I see it is that you want to start to be able to see it as if it was in a movie. What is the process? What are all the elements that make up someone's definition of a word? Maybe confidence, love, communication, belief, even things like belief. We don't know specifically what our client is talking about, or decision. What specifically do you mean with the word decision? So we need to start checking those words, and we're going to be listening for 4 to 7 in 25 minutes. And we want you to have enough detail in those words. And so at a level 2, you will see insufficient detail. So if you ask once, what do you mean with love? Well, self-love. Oh, okay, self-love. And then you don't ask any more questions that allow you to reproduce the process. Then it is insufficient detail at a level 2. So we're looking for clarity checks with sufficient detail. When you have the entire process, that would be at a level 3. Then you get the strategy process. So getting clarity checks of words leads into strategy process. And the strategy process is what is the movie of someone's present state and what is the movie of someone's desired state? So, for example, someone has a trigger. The husband raises their voice. And then something happens inside of the client. So they hear the raising of the voice, and then what the client says to herself is, oh, that means he's angry with me. And that means that he's going to leave me, and then I'm going to be all alone. And then what happens is that they see themselves as a little girl in a room all by themselves and darkness around them. So that's the strategy process of how someone creates loneliness or creates abandonment. So just from that one raising of the voice, it goes to abandonment, the state of abandonment, and that's how they do that. So that's when, for example, your client talks about abandonment, and like I'm sharing a story of one of my clients, when someone talks about abandonment and you start asking clarity checks, that's what you get. You get information about how they do that word, how they create that. So that's clarity checks. And also at level 2.5, we're going to be listening for keywords repeated. So we're going to be listening whether you repeat the words that they use, and specifically the keywords that are related to the outcome. And obviously there also needs to be the foundation of enough eye contact, a balance between talking, so your client needs to be talking 60% or more, but not too much, because otherwise coaching is also about leading the process. So if your client is talking 90% of the time, then you're not leading the process, and you're not also not getting to the heart of things. So it needs to be a balance, and then that there are enough encouragers. Any questions so far? Okay, great. So what takes away from the skill of listening is paraphrasing. So if you start using your own words, your client uses confidence and you use insecurity. So that would be paraphrasing. And insecurity may mean something very different to your client, so that takes away from the skill. Also, keywords not repeated take away from the skill, and insufficient detail. At a level one, you will see things not heard, and that's also actually something new in this form. And things not heard have to do with specific, for example, meta comments that your client makes, or what sometimes happens is your client says, well, I want a plan. What do you want to get out of this session? I want a plan, but I'm afraid I'm not going to stick to it. And you just go take that, I want a plan, you take that down the funnel, and you completely ignore the, but I'm afraid that I'm not going to stick to it. So that meta comment or that fear tells you something about their present state. And so that is something that you need to pick up. And even if they are not aware of it, you need to be aware of it and let them know, hey, did you hear yourself? This is what you said. Then ask a testing question, is that what we need to be working on today? So those count as things not heard. And so we will be writing them down, and some things not heard, they don't take away so much, but other things might be really critical where you go down the wellfrom.com funnel with an outcome that isn't really the real issue here. So that takes away from the skill of listening
as well.
What's that?
I'm assuming that's also then the supporting, the challenge, the compensation, that skill also at the same time as listening?
Yeah, that could happen at the same time. That could be a gentle confrontation if someone says it several times. So I've heard you say several times now that you want a plan, but I've heard you say three times that you're afraid you're not going to stick with it, and then that's a confrontation, and it also counts as something that you've heard. So, yeah. So anything that takes away from the skill of listening is telling, interrupting, talking over, and also mind reading. And that really comes into play when you don't ask clarity checks. You are going to be doing mind reading because you don't really know what your client is talking about, and that's going to have an influence on your questions. So we will be able to hear that in your questions, whether you're mind reading or whether you're asking clarity checks. At a level three, there's also the tracking of the conversation, which essentially is what I just said. If your client has said three times in a conversation, I'm not going to stick to it, and you give that back to your client, then that's tracking a conversation. Also, if you at some point make a summary of the entire conversation, so we started out with this, and then we added this, and then we discussed this, that's also tracking a conversation. That's over an extended period of time, bringing back something that the client has said before. Any questions so far?
No, thank you.
Femke, I have a question, not so much on the specifics, but it's bothering me currently, and I just need to get it out. If one look at these behaviors that detract from your benchmark of 2.5, my understanding is that the approach currently is almost a mathematical one, that you can still get a 2.5 even if you do display some of the level 2 and 1 behaviors. Is that correct?
No. Well, if it's like something really minor, like if you have like one tiny interruption and it's really minor and everything else is high skill and there's enough of it, obviously it's not going to take away. In terms of it being more mathematical, yes, it says one level three per minute. The way my approach is that I'm not going to count like 25, and then like if it's like 24, it's going to be a 2.4. At that point, the quality of what you've done comes into play as well. And I need to ask myself as a benchmarker, you know, was the state of caring, was that present? If it's, you know, or the things that take away, did it take away too much? So we're constantly trying to make it more measurable, but obviously there's always going to be an amount of subjectivity in it, in the sense that we also need to kind of like, okay, from what state was this done, and what was the quality of it rather than just the quantity. So it's in at least in my point of view, it's not just a mathematical thing where, you know, if you just do enough of it, even if it's like lower quality, but you just do a lot of it and a little bit takes away, that you can still reach a 2.5. If I'm benchmarking you, that's certainly not the case.
Yeah. No, thanks. It answers it because I had a frame in my mind that if I pick up any sort of mind reading, then you are pegged at a 1, or if I pick up paraphrasing, then you are pegged at a 2. And what I hear is not that fixed. It's not that there's more to it than just looking at that specific example. It depends on the state from where it comes. It depends on how it impacts the overall conversation. And I think that to me makes more sense.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important. How does it impact on the conversation if you have like one mind read? If you do 5 mind reads, obviously that's really going to affect that skill of listening.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. Definitely. Okay, so... Then at a level 3.5, there is a couple of more skills. So there is silence, and that's basically just leaving a pause for your client to go inside. Using silence, I think, is a really powerful skill because it allows your client to really get into state. A lot of the time when they talk about it, they don't really get into state, And so silence really gets them into state. Very powerful. There's asking about the unsaid. So your client may say like, oh, I want to stick up for myself. And then as they start talking, they only talk about other people. So I hear you say that you want to stick up to yourself, and I hear you talk about, you know, I hear you talk about your mother, your partner, your children. Now, how about you? So that's asking about the unsaid, and it's in relation to the outcome that they want. Inviting awareness is your client says something, and you say, did you hear what you just said? So that they can reflect back and kind of slow down, and they have to listen to themselves. Then there is rephrasing, which is essentially another, like it's an alternative to an acknowledgement. And so basically you're using multiple synonyms for something that your client has just said that will offer a new frame to it or a new way of looking at it so that it has a more focused perspective. So it's that's also where, you know, you use several synonyms so that your client can find the one that really nails it and that allows him to get more focus. And this is really tricky because in order to do that, you need to really listen, because otherwise it can be more paraphrasing or more leading. So it's definitely a high-level skill. And then there's also inferential listening. And inferential listening is something that is implied in what they've said that they haven't explicitly stated. So if your client, for example, talks about, oh, I want to be a better leader, then that implies that he's going to lead something or someone somewhere. So a leader of what? So that would be, who are you going to be leading? That's an inferred question. So the other day I was working with a client and well, she said something like, okay, no, that, but that's not true. And so when she says that, but that's not true, what is inferred is that something else is true. So then I can ask the question, so if that's not true, then what is true? And so that's inferential listening. It's listening for what is inferred. Again, a high-level skill. So for listening, any questions about that?
Vimka, silence, allowing the client to actually go inside. I found that there's a risk that you actually let the client go into self-coaching.
Okay.
Any indications of what you look for to I don't want to say interrupt self-coaching, but that's probably what you need to do.
Okay. So what frame do you have about self-coaching?
The frame that I have, and I think it's something that came with many benchmarking sessions locally, is that if you actually are in a coaching session and you allow the client to, for the most of the time, just do self-coaching, then what are you doing? Are you still leading the discussion, or are you just there?
Yeah, if that gets out of hand. I would say that's perfect, because then you don't have to do it. But no, then you definitely want to make a confrontation. If that happens like all the time and it's a pattern. But again, with that, you know, sometimes someone does self-coaching, and that can be very beneficial as well. So
I think that's a good enough answer for me for now. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. So then we have questioning. And questioning, like, over the course of the next few months, we are going to be looking at also how do all of the skills relate and what should you focus on first in terms of, like, developing. And so that's what we've, in the Skill Builders, I have set everything up so that it all integrates. Because what I want you to be able to do is to have a synergy of all of the skills at the same time. And so questioning is also where that really comes together in the well-formed outcome funnel. Because if you have a really well-defined outcome, then your coaching is going to be easy because you know exactly what needs to be done, what needs to be changed, what you need to get clarity on, how you need to get that. And so this is where what everything really kind of revolves around. So at a level 3, we're listening for well-formed outcome questions. Well, at a level 2.5, there's going to be 5 to 8 well-formed outcome questions. And we're going to be checking those off individually. So if you ask the what question 5 times, that only counts as one well-formed outcome question at a level 2.5. So the well-formed outcome questions is one of the 18 questions. At a level 3, we're looking for the KPI being clinched. And we're also listening for testing questions. Now, there's a difference between testing and checking questions. First, how they are similar is that they are both positive closed-ended questions. Now, a testing question is when someone says, can you do that? That is a testing question. Or is that what this is about? Is that what we need to be talking about today? Those are testing questions. Then checking that is, are you sure? That's a checking question. And then if I later on, is this still what you want to work on? That's also a checking question. So there's a slight difference in testing and checking. What they both do is making sure that you're on the right track, and they help you actually get closer to the leverage point of change. And so we go down the funnel. We don't want you to rush down the funnel. The funnel is really for you to get the leverage point of change. So you go down the funnel, and when, for example, you get to to the question, can you do that, and your client says, yes, I can, okay, so if you can do that, then what do we need to get out of this session? So you're not going to help your client do something that they can do for themselves, so you really want to get to that point that if they got that out of your session, everything else is going to be easy. The way that I introduce coaching is the facilitation of the process facilitation to an agreed upon outcome. So facilitation means to make easy. And we do that by finding the leverage point, because once you have the leverage point, then everything else becomes easy. And the well-formed outcome process helps you get that, in addition to some kind of like helping questions. So the testing and checking questions help you refine that. So you have a well-formed outcome question, you check for clarity on that under the listening skill, you make an acknowledgement, feed that back, and then with that information, your client has sent something that is related to the outcome, and then you can test, is that what we need to be talking about? So then your client might say yes, and then you can ask the what question again. What do you need to get out of this session? So that's looping back. I have a video of that, which I will share with you as well. that I would really highly recommend you watching so that you get more of an idea of how we use the well-formed outcome and those testing and checking questions, as well as clarity questions. Obviously, also exploration questions, and exploration is really tell me more about this. Tell me more about your fear of not sticking to your plan. Tell me more about that. That's exploring. All of those are under level 3. We're looking for 5 to 8 well-formed outcome questions and enough of the testing, checking, and clarity and exploration questions. Then what takes away are leading questions. So leading questions can also be, so what do you want to talk about, this or this? So you corner someone into a choice rather than leaving it open. And just irrelevant questions. A question becomes irrelevant if you don't ask a testing question, is this what we need to be talking about? So you take the first what that your client presents, and that's what you take down the well-formed outcome funnel, and you never loop back or check in for what's behind it. Then your well-formed outcome questions become irrelevant, and those take away from the skill. At a level 3.5, if you probe, if you ask 7 to 10 questions about the same topic, so your fear of sticking to the plan, and you ask 7 to 10 questions, those may also be meta questions, by the way, about that, then that becomes in-depth probing. Quality control is really the ecology question of how does this fit? Is this ecological for you to do this? So really going down the funnel and asking that those kinds of questions of ecology, also at a level 3.5. Any questions about the skill of questioning?
I just had one question, thanks, Mark. When you say reducing choice, so you gave the example, you know, what do you want to talk about, this or this? Are you okay to give those two as choices if they are two choices that did come up, but then follow up with, or is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Like, is that what you mean by not closing it?
Yeah, I would make an acknowledgement first. So I've heard you say this, and I've also heard you say this as things that you would want to talk about. So that's just an acknowledgement. And then I would just keep it open. What is it that you want to get out of today's session? Because it may be that they want both.
Okay.
So rather than like giving them several options, you can just leave it open. Your client will know what to answer.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay. Then meta questions, at level 2.5, we are looking for a grounded meta question. Now, this also means that if you are not asking any clarity checks under the skill of listening, which are grounding, if you don't ask the question 2 of the well-formed outcome, the sensory description, then you're not having any grounded questions because it needs to be grounded in a context. They also need to be relevant and timely. So we're looking for 1 every 2 minutes. That means that in a 25-minute coaching session, we're looking for around 12 to 13. You already have I'm not entirely sure how many, but I will share that with you in a document. I think about 5 or 6 meta questions in the well-formed outcome funnel right there. So the why question is the first one, and you layer that, obviously, so you can ask that several times. And then obviously you have the axis of change, which also gives you at least 8 different questions that you can ask about the axis of change. So getting that level 2.5 is very feasible. It's just a case of, okay, why, you know, for what specific purposes do you ask meta questions? And that is something that we're going to be looking at in the skill builders as well. Rather than just looking at what kinds of meta questions are there, what different purposes are there, so that you know why you are asking a meta question. And that's when they just start popping out without even thinking about it. So we're going to be focusing on that. At a level 3.5, when you layer them, so I can ask, for example, the first why. Why is this outcome important to you? And then I have the answer, and then I can ask, okay, why is that important to you? And then you feed back, okay, so you want to make a plan because that will get you to your outcome, and getting you to your outcome is important to you because... And why is that important to you? So then you are layering and you're really getting the matrix of someone's experience, either teasing it out or building it up. So that's layering meta questions. And then frame by implications, and that's, you know, you interject premises. A very simple, basic frame by implication is asking the question, what will that open up for you? Or what difference will that make for you? So you're already implying, you're already making the presupposition that it's going to make a difference. So in order to answer that question, they need to accept the premise that you have put to them. It's going to make a difference. So it doesn't have to be like a really difficult, long question. It can be very simple. It's just, hey, I'm interjecting a frame that is helpful and that my client, that is related to the outcome. So it may even be something that they said they want, a resource, that in order to answer the question, they accept the premise. They need to accept the premise. So that's a frame by implication, and we're going to be looking at that later on in the program as well. What takes away from the skill of meta-questioning is ungrounded, irrelevant, untimely. So irrelevant means that they are not related to the outcome, or if there's mind reading. And mind reading comes really, if you do mind reading, it takes away from all of the skills because it's not to the outcome of your client anymore. So any questions with regards to that?
I'm pleased that you said we're going to look at frame by implication because that's one thing I never really fully understood, but I shall wait.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to, I mean, that's a high-level skill. What we're going to be focusing on first is getting the, you know, the foundation really solidly in place, and then we are going to look at the higher-level skills.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So, Don, I know that you, it's close to 7:30. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you have to go pretty soon.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you have 5 more minutes? And then we'll go through induction of state.
And then I've got to cut and run.
Okay. So we'll go through induction of states. And induction of state, this became really clear to me last week. If all of the other skills you score really low, then you're not going to score high on induction of state. So induction of state comes out of your questions, out of your meta questions, out of silence, out of feeding back, out of making a confrontation. So all of that needs to be present. So under level 3, you will see questions, meta questions, silence, And then also it needs to be congruent in voice and gestures to the state. So this is where you start leading out. So you need to, based on the outcome of your client, so that's really critical, and so you need to have asked all of the clarity checks. You need to know, you know, what specifically that they want, what that will feel like, so that you can feed it back in that voice, and maybe you need to take the lead in doing that even stronger, making the gestures even bigger, so that they can be induced into this state. So this is where you really start leading. At a level 3.5, you're either using a menu list that can help them get into a state, or you're using induction language. So using language like, what if tomorrow you woke up, and everything is different. And then you use the more induction language. Coaching the body is really like, what is the breath of confidence, and how will your shoulders be? How will you look through your eyes? So really coaching the body and letting them take the breath, feel the muscle tone of confidence, things like that. And this is really where voice comes into play a lot. Inducing states was a difficult one for me for a long time, because I didn't have permission inside myself to do all the drama and to really make it big. So I was really good at the reflection state and the making everything safe, but you know, within the lines. And so more freedom in your voice and the inflection and your own body is really critical to get to a level 2.5 in terms of this skill. And that comes on top of really a synergy of all of the four skills that come before this, of supporting, listening, questioning, and meta-questioning. So that's in feedback and giving feedback. That's mostly what I focus on, is the first four skills, and then how that relates to induction of states. So any questions about induction of states?
No.
Okay. Mark or Dirk?
One question, Femke. If one look at the new form, there's a whole range of states listed.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just there as examples, or is it something that you can tick off as you observe them?
They're just there as examples. And if you look at them, you will see that they are, a lot of the time, they're part of the axis of change states. So decision, desire, curiosity, and reflection, obviously. Reflection, part of the probing state. So those are just, you know, ideas that you can look for.
Thank you.
Not necessarily that they have to be there. It can also be different states. So we are going to be looking more into, obviously, getting familiar with the benchmarking form. Don, I will let you go because I know that you have an appointment and you have to keep running. So I will be in touch. Go check out the Facebook group, and I will write everything down that I shared in the beginning.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, and thanks, guys.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to catching up with you all soon.
All right. Thank
Bye,
you, Don.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So so in terms of the benchmarking form, we're going to do a lot of benchmarking, and you will, you know, get more familiar with what the different skills are. But I did want to start you off with this. And, Mark, we're going to have a meeting next week and go through the benchmarking in more depth. So
awesome.
Yeah, and also in the meantime, if you want to join in on any of the weekly calls, you can practice your coaching there, and there's other people on the call as well. And we do benchmarking every week, so that's a great resource. There's also previous recordings, so if you want to do it in your own time, you can listen to a recording and do some benchmarking, and then I'm benchmarking after each session, so you can also check to see how you did in terms of your benchmarking. So that's also a way to practice that.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. So with regards to the benchmarking form, are there any questions?
No, at this stage, I think it's been a great. I've never gone through it in this much detail before, really, except for a long time ago. So no, it's been great to get a refresher on the changes in it, because there's a few new words in the latest version.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it's been good. Thank you. I think
okay,
I need
great.
To let some of this sort of settle in my head, and I've taken notes. So
yes.
I'm sure my brain will filter it. And
yes, absolutely. And like I said, I will make a reference document as well. Not next week, but the week after that, I'll have it for you guys. So I'll send that out.
I think one thing that Michael maybe needs to do is update the MetaCoaching Volume 1 book, because there's a lot of changes, aren't there, in there?
Yes, there are a lot of changes.
Benchmarking, and it's out of date, no?
It is out of date, absolutely. I'm not sure if he has the time, but yeah, maybe someday. Or when he passes on the reins to to some of us.
Well, you could do that for him, and then, I mean, it was a great reference back in the day, but things have changed.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has changed. It's gotten a lot more refined and detailed, and even the benchmarking is hardly anyone passes in the first week, and we don't do the certification anymore in the week itself. So, a lot more rigorous, and I think that's good.
Cool. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. So, with regards to that, I think that concludes our session for today. I have sent you the skill builder, and so the main point is that you're going to be working through that and working on your own KPI and outcome. And so what I've shared with Dirk is that what I'd like to do is first do the benchmarking, spend about half an hour on that, and when you are ready, when you've gone through some of the skill builder and you have like a general idea of your KPIs, then we have a conversation and so that we can really refine it.
Yep.
I think that'll work better than doing that up front. So we'll first do the benchmarking and then set a separate meeting for the outcome of this program.
Yep.
Any questions before we sign off?
Not from me.
Okay. Dirk?
From my side, Pimke, just thank you so much for this going through the benchmarking form. I think many of the things I knew, but there were quite a number of distinctions that opened up a lot of new insights for me. Thank you very much for that.
Great. Thank you, and you're very welcome. And so any questions that you have throughout the week or any insights that you would like to share, that's what the Facebook group is for. So the sooner we get going on that, the better, because then I noticed in the last group, after a few months, they started using it. And it really is, they just gain a lot from it. So start using it early. I will be posting on it and sharing And as I get insights from the work that I do, I'll share that with you as well. And I'm going to send you an email with the program of what you can expect over the next 8 months.
Cool.
Looking forward to that. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you for today. And I really look forward to the next 8 months and happy that we got started. And I will speak to both of you soon.
Cool. Thanks, Femke. Cheers, Dirk. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Okay.
Wonderful. Bye, Femke. Bye, Mark.
You are currently the only person